You may know that the number one country hit in the country is Texas Hold'em by Beyonce, and people are freaking out. The world has changed. People are yelling at Beyonce, stay in your lane. The whole of the music landscape of America is changing all of a sudden, just like it always does. A fretless nylon string low-tuned banjo all alone starts out a number one hit song in the land. Oh my goodness. Beyonce, artist that she is always changing, growing, and evolving. And music, that protein-shifting, necessary human living thing, will always evade the music industry's attempts to tell us what it is. What science tells us about the world is that it is always in process, always shifting and evolving and changing, no matter how still it feels, the ground under our feet is moving. In my experience of growing up in Catholicism, I didn't get the idea that change was the fundamental reality, just the opposite, in fact. It might have been trying to teach me something else, but what I learned was that this mortal, forever transient, changing world is nothing compared to the immortal, forever unchanging that is beyond, above, and beyond us. Our goal is to be in that permanent place, to be part of the unchanging realm, and to leave this changeable, mortal world behind. The most shocking delivery of this message to me was at the funeral service for my uncle. The priest at the service made a little homily. He read from the obituary that had been published in the paper, sort of a recitation of a few select facts in the life of my uncle. And then, in an attempt to reassure us about my uncle's well-being beyond the grave, he painted this picture of the spirit of my uncle floating above us, hanging high in the sanctuary, and then turning his back on us and going off and up into the bright, beautiful, eternal paradise of the hereafter, leaving us behind. It felt like a blow to the head. It felt like a punch to my heart. Knowing my uncle, however bright and wonderful that other place might be, he would never turn his back on the people that he loved. He would never have turned his back on his grandkids, and I know he didn't. The spirit of the uncle I know is here, part of this shifting, changing, evolving world, and his spirit is shifting and changing and evolving along with us, who are also shifting and changing and evolving. The transformation preached by the priest was sort of a one-and-done kind of transformation. All the rest is just hanging out in heaven, I guess, the place where, as I was taught by the band Talking Heads, the place where nothing ever happens. I believe in a happening world. I believe in lives that are happening. The river flows, the tide goes in and out, the winds blow and the continents drift across the globe. What resonates with me would be a teaching something like that of the 12th century Zen Buddhist master Dogen. According to a 21st century Zen teacher, for Dogen, impermanence isn't a problem to be overcome with diligent effort on the path. Impermanence is the path. Practice isn't the way to cope with or overcome impermanence. It is the way to fully appreciate and live in it, to live it. Dogen wrote that impermanence itself is Buddha nature. And what resonates with me is that beautiful sentence written by James Baldwin, "For nothing is fixed, forever and forever and forever it is not fixed. The earth is always shifting, the light is always changing, the sea does not cease to grind down rock." Baldwin has such a gift for language, and yet as beautiful as his words are, he does not pull any punches or let you off the hook. He shows you real hurt and suffering and makes sure that we feel it and are discomforted by it. The beauty of Baldwin's words, plus the unease and discomfort he helps us feel, point us in the direction of the change and transformation we want and need to happen in our lives and in the world. We live in a happening world, and we are here to shape it, and as Baldwin says, to make the world a more human dwelling place. Everything changes, and that is one of the places to look for hope. Howard Thurman finds that constant and hopeful change in the natural world around him. All around us, worlds are dying and new worlds are being born. All around us, life is dying and life is being born. The fruit ripens on the tree. The roots are silently at work in the darkness of the earth against a time when there shall be new leaves, fresh blossoms, green fruit. Another place where I find hope is in a faith tradition that strives for change and strives to change. And Unitarian Universalism does that. Part of this commitment is rooted in our universalist theological heritage. Universalism, everybody is saved. So what universalism is telling us is that we are all of us, destined for transformation. The inspiration we find in science tells us that evolution is always happening. And so transformation is a key Unitarian Universalist value. In the new statement of UU values that's going to be voted on by UU delegates this summer, it says, valuing transformation, that we adapt to the changing world. And with that value of transformation before us, what is the commitment we are called to make? The way the proposed statement of values puts it is this: we covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritages, never complete and never perfect. I love the never complete and never perfect part of that. All that constant change can feel overwhelming, except for that. It makes space for compassion and even failure. Not everything we're going to try is going to be a success. Or as the organizer Adrienne Marie Brown says, adopt this view: never a failure, always a lesson. I think the part of this that is most difficult for humans when it comes to valuing transformation is simply cultivating openness to change. We Unitarian Universalists sing a living tradition, as the cover of our gray hymnals proclaim. And yet it's not been simple or easy to attempt a new statement of values. Even though I don't think that most UUs have the seven principles that have been around for 40 years, essentially, memorized, there has been resistance to releasing them from the UUA bylaws and trying to imagine how to describe a 21st century Unitarian Universalism. In 1962, James Baldwin wrote an essay trying to describe the task and responsibility of the artist. And one of the main things that he says an artist is up against is the resistance to change. He wrote, "It is absolutely inevitable that when a tradition has been evolved, whatever the tradition is, the people in general will suppose it to have existed from before the beginning of time, and will be most unwilling and indeed unable to conceive of any changes in it. They do not know how they will live without those traditions that have given them their identity. This is why openness to change is so hard, because being open to change means being open to the possibility that who we are will change too. I've done a lot of work to figure out who I am, and you mean once I figure it out that it'll change? As Baldwin says in another essay, the possibility of liberation, which is always real, is also always painful, since it involves such an overhauling of all that gave us our identity. Transformation in the direction of liberation and justice and love means changing who we are, not just changing what the world is. The UU congregation of Quezon City in the Philippines declares that this works both ways in one of the readings that they use in their services. When I change, the world changes, they say. The UU congregation of Saratoga Springs hasn't said it in so many words, perhaps, but we are declaring that we are striving for and destined for transformation. That's what we're doing in taking on the project of leaving this meeting house behind and imagining and working to realize a new meeting house. We are saying that we need transformation. We are saying that we have a longing for transformation and feel a call to transform. We are saying that we want transformation for our community. We are saying that we want to make a new difference in our lives, in the lives of our neighbors, and in the life of our communities. We are saying right now to ourselves, our neighbors, and our communities, make ready for transformation. In the amazing novel by Olivia Butler called The Parable of the Sower, one of the ways that the main character is different from everyone else around her is that she makes ready for transformation. When we first meet the main character, Lauren Olamina, in the dystopian future world of Southern California in the year 2024, she's living in a humble but walled cul-de-sac of homes. Walled because the violence and danger outside of those walls is just too frightening, just too threatening. And yet Lauren is not content to think that she will stay forever in her walled neighborhood, marry one of the neighborhood boys and have kids and just live out her days within those walls. She wants to get out, and she knows that, walled though her neighborhood may be, sooner or later, fire and violence is likely to come. And so she makes ready. She puts together an emergency bag with food and clothes and money, and when the violence and fire does come to the neighborhood, she has been training herself. She has spent time practicing how to find her emergency bag in the dark, and her trained reflexes help save her and make sure that she will have at least a few resources with her as she searches for a new place and a new way to make a new life. This doesn't mean that she knows what's going to happen next. She has a goal and she has values and ideas that guide her. But what will actually happen, she doesn't know. She knows she's stepping into risk. We don't know exactly what's going to happen in our move to our new meeting house. We have an idea of what the new meeting house will look like, but it's just an idea and a few pictures right now. Just what will happen, we can't know for sure, but we have started making ready. You'll hear more about this after the service today, but there is a team of people working now to find the temporary home that we're going to need for a little while when we transition from this meeting house to the next. There is a team of people also cataloging everything that we have in this building. Can you imagine? We are committed to transformation. We are committed to doing the work for transformation. We are committed to transform, and that means we have to have a certain faith because we're stepping into the unknown. Faith isn't belief. Faith isn't about certainty. Faith is the ability to act without knowing for sure what will happen next. The theologian Catherine Keller teaches that faith is not settled belief, but living process. It is the very edge and opening of life in process. To live is to step with trust into the next moment, into the unpredictable. Faith is about acknowledging where you are right now, being honest about that, being clear about what it means to act on your values, and then to act, move, roll and step into the next moment, whatever it may hold. Faith is willingness to enter into relationship. Every marriage begins in and is sustained by faith. Faith is the attitude of never a failure, always a lesson. Faith is a willingness to accept that transformation will happen, is happening. And faith is allowing that we cannot know in any totally certain or easy way just what we are transforming into. Valuing transformation, we are called, in a sense, to submit to the reality that everything is in process. But it is also to commit to help shape and co-create that transformation. We must acknowledge the river's flow, the pull of the tide. Whatever we do today, it is not possible to stop the tides from happening. But valuing transformation, we can work with the tides. We can work with the river's flow and become part of what happens next, whatever that will turn out to be. Valuing transformation, we'll explore how we got to where we are and how we might participate in what happens next. Making ready for transformation is an act of faith. May we covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. May we be open to change. May we be cultivating openness to possibility. May we appreciate where we've come from. May we know that we dwell in the impermanence that is Buddha nature. May we know that we are never complete and never perfect. May we accept the discomfort and challenge of change. May we revel in the transformation and growth of who we are. May our transformation be in the direction of wholeness and justice. May we transform with and into love.